While she resisted the urge to point out that, for her to do better in marriage, her aunt would have to find her a prince. Not that she was looking, for she wasn't. But that didn't mean she wasn't slightly envious of her friends' happy situations. Friends, with Lucy and Eleanor, no less. Why, a month ago, Minerva would have scoffed at such a thing. Having summoned them to London, the Duchess of Hollandrake had banished the lot of them to this house and given them a choice: live together under the same roof or get married. Oh, the first few days had been a horror. But then, something amazing happened. Minerva, Eleanor, and Lucy established an uneasy truce. Then, unbelievable as it was, discovered they could be friends, and finally had joined forces to help each other. Now, best of all for Minerva, with Lucy and Eleanor's marriages, she could live in the house on Brook Street to the end of her days in relative comfort, alone, without a husband, doing exactly as she saw fit. That thought, while a welcome notion a month ago, now yawned before her, like this evening, which Aunt Bedelia had interrupted by arriving and announcing that she was taking her to Lady Vere's soiree. Not that her planned entertainment of attempting the latest embroidery pattern from the new issue of the Ladies' Magazine had been all that inviting. For if she was inclined to be honest, life with Lucy and Eleanor, though initially repugnant, had turned out to be full of adventure, especially when her two fellow dowagers had discovered love and their own perfect happy endings. Minerva's heart skipped a beat as she considered her own hand in both matches, and just as quickly she stopped herself. Oh, gammon! She was turning into Aunt Bedelia if she was taking credit for such things. Heavens! What would she be like in a few years, if after only a few days alone she was already making such assumptions? Minerva stole a glance at her aunt, who was pouring herself another glass of wine from the decanter. Never a good sign, for it meant the old girl was deep into a plot, most likely how to foist some unsuspecting lord into her niece's path. And as it turned out, she wasn't too far off on that suspicion. "Dear girl, there is nothing wrong with seeking a husband," the lady began, settling deeper into the settee, which was as bad a sign as the wine glass filled nearly to the brim. "I would be delighted even if you were able to secure a mere baron. I was married to one once. Lord Taunton." She sighed dreamily, as if she were once again a debutante of 17. "Taunton was a wicked man, if ever there was one. Barons do seem to be inclined toward a wildness that is unmatched. Why, I remember once we were at the Grasby Ball, and he suggested we go upstairs in the middle of a cotillion and..." "Aunt Bedelia!" Minerva protested. She should never have brought out that bottle of Madeira. "Honestly, are such details necessary?" "Apparently so," the lady insisted. "There are advantages to having a man in your life. Advantages you seem to have forgotten." "Might I remind you, I was married to Philip Stirling?" Minerva shuddered, as she usually did when she remembered her short and very unhappy marriage to the Marquis of Standen. He'd lived a long, ruinous life before she had been hauled to the altar and forced to marry him, the third such unhappy bride to pledge her troth to the spoiled, drunken Hollandrake heir. Aunt Bedelia took a long sip from her wine glass. "I doubt Standen could even do his duty, given the dissolute life he led. Why, no wonder you are so averse to marriage, dear girl. You haven't been properly tapped, have you?" Minerva opened her mouth to protest, but what could she say? First of all, she was mortified beyond words to be having this discussion with her elderly relation, and secondly, her aunt was utterly correct. Philip Stirling's licentious life had left his manhood as flaccid as his protruding belly. So there it was. She'd never been properly tupped, not even close. "Never mind, my dear," Aunt Bedelia said. "That is what your collection of French novels are for, at least for the time being. We just need to find the right man for you, so you can put your reading days behind you. Then you can forget all about that loathsome Standen. He certainly wasn't a fit example of matrimony."